From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In a moment, we'll hear from Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, as he brings the final portion of a message entitled The Certainty and Nature of Answered Prayer. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6, the Lord Jesus said, Pray to thy Father which seeth in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. In the face of this and many other promises in the Bible regarding God's promise to answer prayer, the people of God often find themselves perplexed as to why some of their requests seem to be ignored or denied. As we've seen, God knows what to give and what to withhold as He seeks to conform His people to Christ. As Dr. Cairns will show, it is in the battleground of prayer that we learn the blessing of total submission to God's will and ways. Dr. Cairns will return to the message shortly, but first he takes the opportunity to draw attention to his booklet, A New Beginning, a publication designed for those who are serious about learning how to be saved and how to grow in the Christian life.
I'm sure that many a time in conversation you've heard the statement, well, you know, it's all according to how you look at it. It is indeed, for us in many cases, all according to how you look at things. I find it strange that what sinful men call life, the Bible calls death. I'm sure you've seen in newspapers or on television, or you've heard on radio or something, of the activities of certain of, say, the Hollywood type or the entertainment class or the sports stars, and man, this is life. They're running from one dance to another, from one shindig to another, from one gambling casino to another, from one partner to another, from one marriage to another, and they say, this is life. The Bible says, she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. In other words, people who give themselves to what the world says is real life are actually living real death. On the other hand, the Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. He who has Jesus Christ as his Savior has life, real life, abundant life, overflowing life, eternal life. The hymn writer put it this way, life, life, eternal life, Jesus alone is the giver. Life, life, abundant life, glory to Jesus forever. He that hath the Son hath life. Now, of course, to the world, to have Christ as your Savior is to be miserable, to be wretched, to be sad, to give up on life, to be a sour-faced religious fanatic. That's what the world wants you to believe, and that's what the devil wants you to believe. Of course, it's all a lie. To have Christ is to have life, to have peace, to have joy, to have satisfaction, to have something to live for, something to die by, and a certainty of eternal glory to follow. He that hath the Son hath life. Now, I don't know what you have in this world by the world's standards. I don't know if the world would describe you as really living or whether it wouldn't. But I would want to know this. By God's standard, are you dead or alive? Paul spoke of those who are yet without Christ, they're yet in their sins, as being dead in trespasses and in sins. Dead toward God. Dead spiritually. And getting ready to die physically. And then the second death eternally in separation from God. Now, according to God's standards, are you dead or are you alive? Now, you can take a corpse and prop it up in church. It's still a corpse. You can take a dead sinner and you can baptize him. He's still a dead sinner. You can take a dead sinner and set him at the Lord's table. He's still a dead sinner. You can take a dead sinner and you can pin the name Lutheran or Presbyterian or Free Presbyterian or Baptist or Methodist or Independent Methodist or Church of this, that, or the other thing. You can put any name on the lapel of a dead sinner. He's still a dead sinner. Question is, are you dead or alive by God's standard? Real life is the gift of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Have you received that gift? Oh, I trust you will. We're here to help you to receive the knowledge of the way of life in Christ. With the literature we'd be happy to send to you, we want you to be rejoicing in eternal life.
Sacred and hallowed retreat, where my soul finds a fellowship sweet, where the Lord of my life I may meet, in the garden of my heart, in the cool of the day he walks with me, in the rose.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. Every day we've been receiving letters by mail, by email, and we've been receiving phone calls. Some of you want to say thank you and tell us how much the Lord has blessed His Word to your heart. Some of you have told us of life-changing experiences through the preaching of God's Word. Some of you have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program, such as A New Beginning, to which Dr. Cairns made reference earlier in the broadcast. This booklet is a plain man's guide to the way of salvation and going on with God. For a free copy of A New Beginning, or of any of the other literature we mention, please contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week.
listen to me very carefully. In communion, we submit our understanding to His. The Lord knows our need. Now, we should know what we're asking. We should seek to understand what we really need, why we need it, what we're asking and why we're asking. We must not simply multiply words in prayer. We must pray with understanding. But we must submit that to the Lord, for He knows our needs better than we do. He understands what we're asking better than we do. He understands all that the asking entails and all that the answer would entail. He knows how best to answer. And sometimes He may substitute one answer for another. He may give a better thing than what we ask for. Isn't that the plain meaning of Ephesians 3? He is able to do exceeding abundantly above what we ask or even think. So when we come to commune with God, we submit our understanding to Him. And then we submit our will to His will. When we pray, we say, "Thy will be done." With Christ, we say, "Not my will, but thine." Now, let me tell you that there's a text that very often is in my mind. You very rarely hear a preacher preach on it, but it's a very important one. It tells us that we should recognize the danger of willfulness when we come to pray. Psalm 106, verse 15. He gave them their request. He gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. Be very careful about demanding of God. Be very careful about this attitude that I will not submit my will. I demand to have it. When we are asking in the will of God for the glory of God, that's one thing we can say, "I will not let you go until you bless me, and unless you bless me." But when we have no conscious realization of the will of God, rather than demand, we would be far better to come to know God's will. When I was a young fellow in Belfast, I heard my folks give the most extreme example of that I have ever known. In a very familiar part of Belfast to us, there was a woman whose infant lay at the point of death, and she was naturally out of her mind. Now, let's be very honest. When a parent sees a child at the point of death, the first thought is not, "Lord, if it is your will to take this child, I don't want to keep it. Take it. I submit to your will." That's not the first thought in a parent's mind. But it should be. It should be. That woman was going frantic. She demanded of God that this child would live, whatever it would cost, that child would live. And against all the medical odds, live it did. Some years went by. That boy emigrated. He got into trouble. He was condemned to death for murder. The very people who had prayed with her years before now got together. They made a collection to send her to the other side of the world to see her son before he was hanged. And she said, "I wish
before God. He had died and not lived. That time when I demanded that God save his life. It is natural to pray as she prayed. But my friend, let us be careful about demanding where we don't know the will of God. Recognize the danger of willfulness, but rejoice in the assurance of knowing God's will, because you can, through submission to his word, through the study of his word, through time spent with God, you can come to an understanding of the will of God. And let me bring you again to those wonderful words of 1 John 5:14-15. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we desired of him. The key in the life of the Christian is getting to know God's will. Can I throw in a little bit of what I think is real wisdom? Didn't originate with me, though I've had to learn it the hard way. Great men of prayer and preaching power like Whitfield had to come to learn this too. Even when you know God's will, in many cases you cannot limit God as to when. We have such a tunnel vision when it comes to time. We are creatures that respond to the stimulus of the moment, and we don't have the infinite vision of the omniscient God. Let us understand that when God promises he'll do something, he will do it. And if it's not something he must do today in order to fulfill his promise, it's something he may do today, but he may do tomorrow. Or he may do a year from now. John the Apostle prayed. Did he pray in the will of God when he prayed, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus"? Did he pray in the will of God? Certainly he did. Did God hear his prayer? Certainly he did. But John could no more bind the infinite, eternal God to his time scale than can you or I. And he still hasn't come. But he has heard the prayer, and answer it he will. When we get to the place of communion, we'll submit our understanding, we'll submit our will, and we aim at God's glory. And you know, that is the final thing that brings together these points of tension, brings together all the universal promises of what God will do in answer to prayer, with all the conditional statements about praying in the will of God, praying in faith. Because there are really only two ways of saying the same thing when you look at it from the aspect of communion with God. When you're in communion with God, whatsoever you ask, whatsoever you desire, is according to his will. And if it's not according to his will, you no more desire it. Take the case of Wesley again. Did Wesley desire to live? Certainly he desired to live. But if it was not going to glorify God, he was not willing to live. You see, in the place of communion, when you want to glorify him, whatsoever you desire, whatsoever you ask, it's just the same thing as asking in his will. It's the same thing as asking by faith. Now, there will be times, because you and I are very, very frail and foolish people, when we can't understand, and when we finally can't understand what the Lord is doing or not doing, we must come to adapt the words of the Savior, "Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. When we come to that place, we'll see what is called unanswered prayer, rather is God giving a better answer, or achieving a higher purpose, or simply delaying the answer till a better time. Daniel was praying with great expectation and great urgency. Remember, he again is one of the three people God chose to speak about in Ezekiel 14 as the three great intercessors: Noah, Job, Daniel. 3 weeks later, the answer comes. 3 weeks later. But what was the answer? God heard you at the beginning. What Daniel couldn't see was the tremendous spiritual warfare that was going on. He could see part, but even a mighty man of God like Daniel could not see the entirety of the implications of his praying. God was looking after all the things that Daniel could see. He was also looking after all the things that Daniel couldn't see. And he was delaying the answer to the best possible time, all for the glory of his own great name. Men and women, God does answer prayer. He does so as an all-wise heavenly Father, and he does so as we hold communion with him. Now that's what encourages us to pray. Paradoxically, that's what makes prayer so difficult. For listen, if God answers prayer, doesn't it seem clear to you that Satan's going to try to keep us from true prayer? If God answers prayer, listen, I hope this will get through. If God answers prayer, that will make prayer a battleground. If God didn't answer prayer, look, the devil wouldn't be there to oppose you. He wouldn't be wasting his time. It's because God does answer prayer, as the hymn writer says, that Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. It's because it's true that he will oppose you in prayer, as he did the high priest in Zechariah chapter 3. He stood at Joshua's right hand to resist him. When you come to pray, have you ever felt that? You ever felt your tongue cleave to the roof of your mouth? You have energy for everything else, but suddenly the energy's drained. Suddenly your mind goes blank. Suddenly it's very difficult to do this thing. Why? Because it's spiritual warfare. That's why. Prayer is a battleground because God answers prayer. But it's also a blessed ground because God answers prayer. Oh, may the Lord write it on our heart today. I hope that you'll go out of this house as a child of God, rejoicing in the reality of your communion with Him, and put this text into operation. Enter into your closet, shut the door, pray to your Father which is in secret, and your Father which seeth in secret shall reward you openly. For our Father answers prayer.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.